Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of that galaxy and directly in the center of our own, this is Four Center Presents Other Center. I'm Ken Napsa.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Lando.
And we are about to dive into a wonderful topic. Oh, the good, the bad, the exercise. Joseph's going to lead us through this conversation about working out, hiking, walking, running, and the good, the bad of all of that there. Can't wait to get to this one. Before we do, we always like to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we'll have a 4center recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us, and it does absolutely help the show. So if you're looking for ways to support us during these times, there's a lot of ways to do that, including, you know, just listening and telling your friends, but also going to audibletrial.com/4center. Keeping in that spirit there, we are going to do our ask segment. And Joseph, change up low and away, swing and a missing. You would have struck me out. This is a great, wonderful change.
Yeah, we've been talking about Patreon a lot, and we really appreciate everybody's support over there. But we started this whole ask segment so we could rotate to different things and different needs. And one of the things that's become clear is that, you know, Other Center is going pretty well. And I think it's kind of time to pass the corner from fear to hope and excitement, and that this is an opportunity to grow listeners who might be interested in the kind of life topics we're talking about. So one of the things that we realized would help with that is some fresh reviews on Apple, mm-hmm. on music. I think the app is just called Music now, right? Or no, Podcasts. It's just a now.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be iTunes, and now it's just called Music, you know? So leave a review on Music or Podcasts. So confused. Anyway, leave a review on that wonderfully branded app Podcast, and about Other Center in particular. Especially if you've been around for a while and you know the difference between and the similarities between us talking about Star Wars, us talking about life. I think people seeing fresh reviews about what the podcast is doing right now would help a lot. I think in that same vein, if you have friends who are not into that galaxy far, far away, or only very lightly into that galaxy far, far away, the kind of people who would tune in and go, what the hell are they talking about? This might be a good time to recommend the podcast to those kinds of friends who aren't as deep into Star Wars and see if maybe we can reach some new people. That is my thought. Ken, Jennifer, any follow-up to that?
No, that's a wonderful idea. It's been fun to see some people talking about what you're explaining. Like, I've gotten behind on Star Wars, or I kind of had to tap that a little bit, and music brought me back. Nostalgia conversation brought me back, or some people saying, my partner is not a huge fan of that fantasy space saga you talk about, but she sure does love music, and it's been fun to see that that happen. So this will be a great way to do that.
Yeah. So yeah, okay. Give us a review on the app that I can't remember the name of, and tell your friends. However you talk to your friends these days,
it's definitely Apple.
Give them a recommendation.
Definitely Apple Podcasts, because I just brought it up on my phone, and now every podcast is downloading on my phone right now.
Oh, no.
There you go. Also, we want to plug that we had a great time doing Questions of the Other Variety live for y'all, hanging out with you this past Friday. Jennifer joined us for 90 solid minutes of the show. Jen, we're so happy and blessed to have you there. And we announced there that we reached a Patreon goal, and we'll be doing a special live life-ranked episode exclusive to patrons, then released to the public later, and it's going to be about desserts. Jen, I know you've been researching this, and you're ready to go for this.
I've spent a lot of thought. I was looking at pictures of desserts to get inspiration, and I feel confident about my list.
this is so great. I've been loving ranking with Jennifer because wild card. Don't know what's going to come up.
The Other Center journey should be subtitled the Landa Revelations.
like that. Landa gets weird. That's
from discovering you're a Grateful Deadhead fan, a Grateful Dead fan and a deadhead, to discovering that you also fought Nazis at propaganda shows. The Discord has been a buzz with the Landa Revelations.
Oh my gosh. Afterwards, I was like, I think I've shared too much.
Find out the best ice cream to go with punching down Nazis at punk shows.
Oh, beautiful. Well, we're about to dive into our main topic. We do like to catch up. Life still happens, regardless of whether or not you're talking about space sagas. So, Jen, did you go any punk shows this weekend?
No, I did not. I don't even know what I did. I think when we last chatted on Friday, I had just come from the strike at the Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank. It was so hot. But I went there for a Latinas Acting Up meetup, which was it felt fantastic. I saw some of my heroes, Gina Torrens, Constance Marie, Luis Guzman. I met new people. I met old friends, new. It was wonderful. And it was really the kind of lifting of the spirits that I needed, because I'm like, this thing is going on for forever. The studios are doing kind of not smart things, leaking stuff to the press. And it's nice to be around your people, right? The community, and to lift each other up. So that was wonderful. That was on Friday.
That's great. No, yeah, feel that energy. Feel the energy.
Yes. Mm.
Good stuff. My life was relatively simple, busy, but you ever have those days where you're like, I have a list of 5 things to do, and you get up and you're like, nah, we're not doing that. We're not doing it. So that was most of my weekend, able to get some stuff done, but also got to go to a comedy club I'd never been to before, but it's historic, the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. My whole life just never performed there, went there, but I accompanied our buddy Mark Ellis there and hung out and got to meet some older comics that are one I used to watch and was kind of one of the reasons I started doing comedy. So that was fun to kind of hang out and just kind of feel the vibe of that and not have to worry about performing. And then we went to I don't even know the name, but I can't remember. Can't even give them free advertising. It just is like at a Chicago beef restaurant, like just, you know, go for the beef at a French dip sandwich that made me see God. It was wonderful. So the lesson of all of this is even though I try to remain vegan, you know, sometimes just got to kick your heels up and enjoy the slow little things of life. And that was my big lesson.
I think that was a very good lesson. And I like this sort of travelogue cooking show that we could do where we can't remember where we went or what the name of it is. So it's also like a mystery investigation. Go somewhere in this general area and then find beef that will make you see God. That's the mission.
There you go. Right. It was 2 doors down for the comedy club. I can't even, Ellis was like, you got, come on, dude. This, we have a place in La Jolla we go to. I think it's Chicago Fire Pit Grill, something, but we know the owner is a guy named George, and he's both awesome and scary. And, so it's become a thing with us. Anyways, I'll get the name and I'll update you on a special life ranked.
Yeah. I love it. That is great. Yeah. We can have a mystery beef ranked.
Really? Interesting.
I love this is a Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew sort of thing of the mystery of the beef. Where is it? Where did he go? I think my life adventures are a little similar in vibe to both of you, in that it is just a weird time for lots of reasons. So trying to find that balance of, you know, I've been traveling a lot of big projects, and I have this long list of stuff that I really, really need to get to and really, really want to get to, but I keep getting distracted by shiny things. I keep going back and forth between like, look at, oh, I just focused and I accomplished something, and oh, now I drifted off into outer space. I had one of those the other day where screw it all. I'm just going to start my day by reading. And I read for 2 hours. Like, that was indulgent, but great. And like, now I'm going to really get things done. And I had a box that I had taped shut, I think 2 months ago, of some gifts to send to our friend Ken Plume. And I had not walked to the damn post office in Hollywood, which is a pleasant walk, and just like, you know what, I'm getting that done. I'll get exercise. And I walked to the post office, and I was like, oh no, the post office is dangerously close to 3 record stores. And I got the post office done, but then I got trapped by the record stores, and there went the rest of my day.
I heard about this package, though. I heard about it.
It was a good package. There's some good stuff in it. Very kind. Ken is very kind, very helpful. It did some great help for me on the short film, so I wanted to return the favor, and I finally got that done. So that was great. I also posted on social media that I finally had the right calm evening to show my wife the short film that I've been working on with so many people, the one that Ken's in, and she gave it a good review, a glowing review, including Ken's performance. So that was really, really nice. It was really nice to finally find the right time to do it.
I got one good review so far.
Good review.
Oh boy. Put them on the scoreboard.
One out of one, because that's the only review it's had, I guess.
That's beautiful. Great. Yeah. Excited for that. Well, without further ado, we've caught up on life. We've plugged, we've asked, we've recommended, well, gotten ready for a recommendation. We're going to dive into the main topic today. Joseph, take it away. We're going to be talking exercise.
Yeah, so I made a big list on some airplane ride of like stuff early on in Other Center of we could talk about, and this was one of them. And then when I got to it, I was like, wow, I think of exercise a certain way. But I realized I was thinking it, and then both of you reflected it to me when I said, hey, how about exercise for this week's deep dive? That a conversation about exercise can be a lot of things. It can be, you know, fun and jokey about the universal challenge of trying to keep up with it. But also talking about exercise immediately tips into deadly serious topics about body shaming and health risks and all sorts of stuff. So I think we'll probably be embracing both, because you both responded with like, yeah, I got some fun thoughts and some deep thoughts. So I want to just start with getting a sense of where you're both at. When you think of exercise and talking about it, how much of the topic is fun and cathartic, and how much of the topic is heavy and even potentially upsetting? Jennifer, where do you go with it?
You know, for me personally, it's a slippery slope. So I like exercising, but I don't ever like to feel shamed or guilted into doing it, which ever since I was a kid, it kind of felt like that was put upon me, whether it was from society or from school, right? And what I've learned is that exercise is such a personal thing, and what works for one person may not work for someone else. Mm-hmm. And really being mindful of that when we talk about exercise with friends or family, and it can be really upsetting to someone if you're like, oh, you just need to prioritize working out and then you'll have a six pack and you'll have, you know, a healthy life. It's like, no, that's not necessarily true, especially when it comes from celebrities who have personal trainers and personal chefs.
Yeah. So for you as a topic, is it, when you think about talking about it, is it like, ooh, I need to navigate that carefully? Or is it more, you just need to be honest about it from your perspective and own it as your perspective to respect that it's an individual journey?
Both. And when we first got this topic, I was like, oh, this is going to be funny. I was like, because I am the last person who should be talking about exercise. And then I was like, oh, guy, actually, this is really kind of upsetting. Not upsetting, but just like, it's just, it feels charged, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Ken, is it similar for you? A mixed bag?
I would describe it as currently mostly positive, but it starts from and continues to be part of like that kind of the stuff Jen's talking. And to be clear, the pressure on me as a male is definitely different than the pressure on a woman in this industry in particular, but also just in society. I'll be clear about that. But yeah, it's definitely can go into the dark side of it all and the drive to reach some standards. I love that you point out some of the, and I think people are aware of it now, but I think we all fall for it of just like, yeah, now, you know, you look at this, you know, insert celebrity name of, wow, what great shape. And they got a routine and they got this, that's their job. They have to that day. And they have to work out for 6 hours and they have this chef. Some of them, yay, might get a little help from some sort of special supplement, you know, like it just you got to put in perspective and it is personal and it is what works for you doesn't work for others and vice versa. That's actually one of my little pet peeves is when someone, oh, you got to do this. No, I don't like that. That's not what I do. That's not how I work out. It's now I like, you know, I'm all for trying new things, but yeah, so it goes a lot of places. I was excited to talk about this because it's a big part of my life. In a good and bad way. So yeah, that's why we're here.
Yeah, I think it is a part of people's lives in good and bad ways. And I think that's, to me, why I think when I first brought it up, it's like, this will be fun. We can joke about, you know, the ups and downs of it. Mm-hmm. And then stopping and thinking like, but it gets into these other issues and I want to be really respectful of that. And it made me think about just how much that for me, joking, if I'm joking about something, it often means that I take it deadly serious. Right. And that's why I'm joking about it, to grapple with it or acknowledge it. Like you're both saying, I have my own personal journey with exercise, what's worked for me, what hasn't, how I feel about it, the good, the bad, all that stuff. But I think there's something relatively universal about exercise, which is the thing to me that becomes funny about it is, I'm speaking in some generalizations here, but like most of us want to do it or need to do it if it's entirely not cosmetic, just health based, right? Mm-hmm. But also we all agree, like, we need to do this. Often we even feel better after we do it, and yet we still hate it. And to me, the greatest comedy, and you can have fun with wordplay or just, you know, sort of silly jokes or, you know, really nasty cutting stuff that's, you know, taking something down. But to me, like, the best comedy is wrestling with, why are we made this way? You know, to just this weird condition of, we need to get just a basic amount of exercise to be healthy. And yet we often despise it. I know there's some people who love exercise. They live for it. They're great. And you're like, what are you talking about? But certainly there's enough of us that hate something that's vital to our own survival. And that to me is deadly serious, but also funny. Like, you got to kind of find a way to laugh at it in order to be able to wrestle with the weirdness that we're made this way.
Yeah. It's like so many, yeah, I don't know, like writing. Like, I'm one of those writers who absolutely despises writing. Like, get out of here. It's still my least favorite thing, but until I'm done with it. Yeah, and exercise is fine. I mean, look, jumping around a little bit, but I'm recording in exercise gear. I have it on right now. I always do, because usually what happens is after we record, I edit some episodes, get them uploaded, have a snack, and then I work out. And if I don't have the gear on, I don't four center ends. I eat a snack and I'm like, great, Fortnite, you know, yeah. I'm in sweatpants, mm-hmm. jeans or something like that. So, yeah,
no, and we'll talk about it, but I think, you know, people relate to it. I've been on and off doing these social media posts that are like exercise updates, and they started over a decade ago, joking about my own process of, like, I always have that thing of like, well, I just need this one thing and then I'll start to exercise. And one of it was like buying sweatpants. And I think, like, the first exercise update I did is like, well, here's my exercise update. I actually bought sweatpants. And now I'll be able to exercise. And those have always got a good response. And that to me has made me feel like, yeah, these are these things that so many of us wrestle with. Mm-hmm. Just to get it out of the way at the top, we can address it more if we want. But for myself, along with the joking, I think I want to be honest and acknowledge that a ton of my relationship throughout my life about exercise has been about body shame. Certainly there's an element of exercise that is just, you need to stay active, you need to stay healthy. I think that's largely where I'm at. But when I started thinking about some of my personal history, a lot of it is about, I need to change my body to be attractive and desired and validated. We can get into that more as we go, but feel free to go wherever you want in terms of the joking or the serious. Let's talk about personal history. Ken, when did you first start exercising? How old are you? How did it go? Why did you start?
This is a great, great question, Joseph. I don't remember the exact answer. I played youth soccer for 2 years. Wasn't very good. At one point, my coach came screaming at me and said, do you enjoy the tickets to the game you have? Cause you're just watching it. I didn't love soccer. Also because I had a real jerk of a coach, quite frankly, which led me to baseball. And then I didn't get to play it as much as I wanted. There's some economic reasons my parents didn't put me in, and I had to watch in silence. Finally got to play. I was okay. I wanted to be better. So during that time, but I wasn't exercising, right? So I was running the laps and doing all the things the coaches have you do. I didn't really focus on exercising for myself till after high school. And then it kind of stuck in, but I wanted to. I was afraid. I didn't really know. My dad was a weightlifter. My dad in the Navy, it's kind of thing where, you know, you see the pictures and you're like, damn, dad, good stuff. Like, you know? And I am built like him. I am a cart puller, as I say. So I don't do a lot of running. I break my ankles if I run too long. I am short and squat. I know recently someone measured out at 6'3", 215 pounds. That's a lie, because I'm 5'10", 220, 225. A lot of people surprise that number, but I wear it relatively well because I'm bulky. Like I said, I'm a cart puller. But I've always battled that. But actually, take it back. I was actually really, really thin. I actually graduated high school so thin, like my grandmother, who, this is dark humor, eventually passed away of cancer, used to always tease me, "You look like you have cancer. You need to eat." Like every time I'd say, "You're too skinny. You're too skinny. You're too skinny." I was this beanpole of a kid. So I took that to heart and went the other way. And then, you know, formed into my dad's frame. But anyways, it was around that time where I felt I had to, right? Because I grew up, our generation, remember, you probably had them too, Joseph and Jennifer, if you read comics in the 80s too, of like, remember in the back of the comics, you had that ad. It was an old ad. It was like the Joe Weider ads. If you're on the beach with your girl and a guy comes up and kicks sand on you, you better defend yourself. You better work out or else she's going to leave you for him, right? Like those ads were in every issue of every comic I owned.
Yes. No, that is that ad is the one of the reasons that I exercise.
Wow. Right? And
it's a defining life image.
Yes. Yes. You and I are picturing the same thing right now. And that was, for better or worse, I'll say nicely, was ingrained in my head as yeah. I got called too skinny and then later on getting a little too heavy. Yeah. There we go. Dark.
So did you you had that psychological thing that we've talked about and we'll talk about more. We've talked about it in context of, a lot of the characters of the 80s were big and muscle bound. So it was great to see some that weren't. Yeah. But you're talking also about sports. When you first started exercising, for you, was it, I need to change the way I look so I can be the sand kicker, not the sand kicky? Or was it, I need to be in good shape because I want to be a sports player?
It was a combination of that. Members, I was a big pro wrestling fan. Eventually, we'll get into pro wrestling. I wanted to be a wrestler. I ended up being a manager and like a booker and promoter type because I just don't have the coordination to be an athlete. I learned that the hard way, trying out for my baseball team. But if, so it was a little bit of that, which I don't think is completely negative, and that's part of it, and that's part of the fun. But without a doubt, it's a little bit of the, I was the shy nerdy kid who had dealt with some of that stuff. So that's always been the battle to where now I still have that. And I have to work through it, but I also enjoy it. Right. So I did discover I enjoyed it. So it was a weird combination.
Yeah. So what were you doing then for exercise?
Eventually I cannot run. It's painful to watch me run. And everyone will come in and give, well, here's the form, nuts to that. I cannot run with any speed or skill. My old roommate said, watching you run is like watching a hippopotamus stamp out a fire on a sidewalk. It's just, it's real bad. And that is true. I had a 6 minute mile in high school and then by ninth grade and by 12th grade, I was about a 16 minute mile. And even when I used to have to run the old security days, run to like a fight. By the time I got to the fight, my ankles were burning with shin splints. Like I had to get promoted just so I could point and say, you all go, I'll get there. Like, it was bad. Okay. So
not running. When you were a kid, then when you were still skinny, did you weightlift?
Weights. Yeah, it's always in weights. Okay. And I love and jump to the good stuff. I love weightlifting. It's meditative for me. I do not like meditation. I've tried various different things of yoga. I cannot. I just 2 seconds in, I'm thinking about every aspect of life in a distracting way. Whereas I can weight lift and work on stand up bits. I can just work on song lyrics, or I can just be and focus, and it clears me. And so I discovered that I love that. So my dad, being an older weightlifter, had some of his like weights that I would use, and I moved to LA with him. And they're old. They're gone. They're like, they were like, they were filled with sand that had become like concrete level hard. Like, wow. They started cracking. But I would work out with that. He didn't really teach me how to do it. But I had them, and that was kind of in my room working out.
Okay. Interesting. Some of my journey overlaps with Ken's, but I want to jump to you, Jennifer, of the beginning of your exercise history, when you started and how old were you and what you did and why.
You know, back in the 80s, I feel like exercise was such a big part of the American culture. You know, it was like Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and then Jane Fonda and Richard Simmons. And it was like jazzercise and aerobics, right? Which kind of came from the 70s as well. Exactly. Yes, Olivia Newton-John, that's right. So I remember actually
body talk.
I remember being really little and going to the gym with my mom while she did her aerobics class. And so having a really positive association.
Yeah.
And then later on when she was like, you know, when Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and seeing how it could be this like negative almost, right? So but then I remember in middle school, they would make us, as you talked about, Ken, they would make us, you know, run the mile or whatever. And I hated it.
It's the worst.
I don't know. It's the worst. Like, I don't know what happened. But, like, I think I just didn't enjoy it. And then somehow, like, somebody diagnosed me with exercise-induced asthma, which I was like, oh, well, then that means I can't run. Yeah. So then I was like, oh, shoot. Well, I'm just going to suck. And I'm going to always be one of the last kids walking back in while everyone's there. Right. So it was always so embarrassing. And then, but here's what's so weird is that I used to be a dancer. So I was like dancing 3 times a week, but I had this exercise induced asthma that prevented me from running. I could not play sports. It just was not my thing. Right. I was, that's kind of how I felt I was labeled. But then when I was in high school, I started running, not with school, but just because I liked it. Because like you're saying, Ken, how weights, you can kind of like tune it out and like focus on things you want to think about. For me, that's running. So like I learned that when I was having a hard day, I would go running after school or just around my neighborhood. And it has become a thing since then that I have done my whole life. Like all you need are your shoes and you can get your exercise and I can clear my head when I'm angry or whatever it is. But it's interesting how when we're kids, adults try and label you and say, oh, you're not the athlete, right? Even though you're a dancer, you can't do this because you're not built that way or you're not already in sports, so you can't participate. It's just really, I mean, I think that things are a lot better, but yeah, that was kind of my good and bad of exercise.
And why did you want to do it? Was in like you're saying, was it entirely like you felt good, it cleared your mind, it helped you deal with your emotions, or did you feel pressure like everything you were describing of the, it's everywhere in the 80s, did you feel like it was what you were also supposed to do?
Yeah, I think it was both. And even though I didn't really wear form-fitting clothes, because as we've talked about, I was a deadhead / punk. So, but yes. I was very aware of like what was quote unquote in style, which at that time I think was like heroin chic, you know, with Kate Moss, people being so skinny. And so it was like this pressure to be like extra waif thin. And I was thin, but like to be extra skinny, right? And so it just became this really it's very troubling thing, while also being positive and a thing that a relationship that I formed with running that I still continue today.
Oh, that's great. I mean, it's great that you were able to find a positive thing and to choose it, you know, in defiance of being told you can't do it too. Is that's pretty empowering.
Right
Yeah, I think for me, it's interesting how much that exercise is tied up with sports, because I guess that's besides just playing as a kid, running around on the playground, pretending, you know, you're a monster or a hero or whatever, you know, naturally getting exercise. So you have all that energy. The first way you encounter it is sports. I believe my very first encounter with sports was in kindergarten. This is even a sport, but we were in the gym and we were supposed to take like, you know, one of those big rubber balls, the dodgeball balls, and bounce it off the floor onto the wall and back and catch it. And then, I had not yet become an obsessive video game player when I was, 6 years old. And I had no hand-eye coordination because I had no reason to, because no one had ever taught me. Yeah. But for some reason, my hand-eye coordination was worse than every other kid. And I could not for the life of me bounce a ball to the floor, to the wall, back to my hands, and it kept, you know, flying everywhere. And I think it was basically like a silent comedian routine ruining everybody else's exercise, which would have been fine except whatever was going on in their life, the kindergarten teacher got violently angry with me, like literally violently grabbed me by the arm and threw me around to the point where she left fingernail marks in my arm. And like, my mom was much feistier when she was younger. And like, I came home and we stormed back to the school and there was yelling. And so that was my first like, aren't sports and exercise fun? No, they aren't. You will be physically wounded, laughed at, and your mom will be mad. Have fun. So, that was not a great beginning for me. Everything else, is a fight to get back to something positive.
Oh, awful that she did that. I it does feel like during that time that schools were so much more physical. I mean, I don't know if at your guys' school, but they like the paddle or whatever. In my elementary school, which is now, it's just like shocking to think that was allowed. Oh, yeah.
Sorry for that, Joseph. My mom witnessed my principal when I was in second grade, public school, nothing fancy, pick up a kid by the collar and neck, like he's Vader choking Captain Antilles. And take him outside of school because it was a kid acting up or whatever, you know. And I remember her telling me that in shock. It was about 82. The good old days ain't all good.
No.
There's some real bad things about the good old days. Yeah. So anyway, just the way you were both talking about sports and school and what, you know, gets drilled into you, there was that. Mm-hmm. But then also, so sports, I tried a couple times and just, it wasn't happening. I clearly learned hand-eye coordination because now it's great from playing video games and painting and things like that.
Right.
Nobody took me aside and
drumming.
Said,
hold on, you're a drummer. You got the best kind of coordination.
Yeah,
there's a ton of things that if anybody had just, Jennifer, I'm just relating to kind of what you're saying of being put into a category very quickly by adults of like, ooh, this one's a scrawny dreamer who can draw and stares off into space. He must be physically impaired, you know? And then I'm sorry, go ahead, Ben.
So I know you're making me think of something good because you touched upon it too, of just like, without a doubt, sports, athletics, and exercise are going to be intertwined, but they don't necessarily have to, where I think I still sometimes have this weird lingering effect from that time period of my youth of if I am around, you know, nerdy sketch comics or something like that, and one of them's like, I gotta go to the gym, I'm kind of like, really, you don't like football, like, you know, like I'm the problem in that situation, where it's like you just kind of, you, because you're right, we are put into these little boxes all along our grown up. Fascinating. Destructive. Fascinating.
Yeah, drilled into us. And then and then there were times, like by the time I got to high school in particular, there were a couple of exercise things we would do where my very, very rail thin physique benefited me, like doing like pull-ups or running the mile. Like I wasn't first, but I was way better than some of the jocks because I just didn't have anywhere near as much to haul. I didn't have all that muscle, some of which was not natural for them even in high school. And so that was weird. I was really good at badminton because running around, and it had nothing to do with strength. It was about, you know, moving fast to get to the right place. But anyway, the first time I made the active choice to exercise myself was between eighth and ninth grade. It had been drilled into me so much that my identity was, you are scrawny. Also in kindergarten, a different teacher tried to give me extra chocolate cake every day because I was too thin. That's why I identified so much with the scrawny guy getting his hand kicked into him. It's one of the reasons that my love of Sinatra exploded, because Sinatra was famous for being thin. Mm-hmm. Endless jokes in the press about, you know, how could this skinny guy be so attractive to women? And it was still my identity, you know, when I was a younger person. It was for a very, very long time. Between eighth and ninth grade, eighth grade had gone well for me, like socially. I think I'd come into my own with having a sense of humor and, you know, saying weird things and getting attention. And I like, it was literal, like, my mind and personality are good, but my body's going to sink me. So my dad had put together, he must have done it for his drum playing. just this sad ramshackle weight of, it was some like iron rod he must have stolen from a construction site with duct tape on the on parts of it to put your hands on, and two, I don't know, 10-pound weights on either side, and it barely worked. But I didn't even ask him. I just went down in the basement and listened to Guns N' Roses and pumped a tiny amount of iron all summer. And the thing that haunts me is I was in great shape then, and I didn't feel it at all because I expected to turn into Superman. And I thought that's the only way to be attractive is to be bulging with muscle, and I'm not doing it enough. And like, again, nobody pulled me aside and said, outside of a personal trainer and going to the gym 6 hours a day, your body's not going to look at like that. You are extremely wiry. You're extremely strong. You're in great shape. I didn't know it, and I wish I had enjoyed it when it was true.
Yeah. Unless you stick this syringe right here, you ain't breaking this frame.
It ain't happening. It ain't happening. Yeah. So yeah, that was the beginning of my journey. Ken, let's go back to you. What was your lowest point of not getting enough exercise or the kind of exercise that you wanted for yourself?
Yeah, you remember, rest in peace, he's the king of rock and roll, but remember some of those shots from Elvis later in his life where you're like, whoa, I see it. It's not just the size, it's the sweating. That was any comedy clip of me from 2003 and 4. I was at a very depressive low point. I had switched to working graveyards in the early 2000s, like 99, 2000, early 2001. And that kind of took me out of routines, made me very depressed. I used to go on my lunch breaks, the old security job when I was working graveyards. Me and my friend would go to Jack in the Box, and at the dollar menu, and this is a pure dollar menu back in the day, 10 items each. And, you know, we're talking jumbo jacks and salads and egg rolls and tacos. And that was my like meal every night. So, again, it's not just the number. There's a delicate balance between, hey, you know, be comfortable with who you are. And also, what are you putting into your heart? Like, you're just jamming the cholesterol straight in there. And the result was it's beyond just not looking good. I just think I set myself back a while, and I was really depressed, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't, it's hard. It's the circle, right? Mm-hmm. Exercise isn't this elixir that's going to fix everything. But I do think it's a positive step in some directions, and but you can't get in there. You can't pick up the weights, or you can't go for even a walk because you're like, what's the point? And I can't get out. And also I didn't have money to go to a gym. I didn't have money to eat healthy. That's a whole nother issue. That we all have to be aware of and maybe face too as a society. So it is the vicious circle. And that was the point. And I eventually had to get out of that. Again, a lot of other things going on. But I've looked at those clips sometimes, and it's just, you know, I'm making jokes to soften the blow. It just was like, I look at it, I'm like, how do we like it?
You know? You make a really good point that obviously so much of the culture's discussion about exercise is about personal motivation, but time and money, everything in the world is time and money. And we're talking about like superstars who go from, I'm on a sitcom where I'm a funny, flubbier, scrawny guy, and now I'm a ripped superhero. That's like one extreme, but the other extreme is just like being generally middle class or upper middle class, where like you feel like I can take 3 hours three times a week. You have that time. You have that money for that membership. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and that's why I get frustrated when people are like, I saw some meme that was like, you know, it's possible to wake up early to find time to exercise. And I was like, I don't want to be waking up at 5 a.m. I mean, I'd love to be that person. And there are some people who really enjoy doing that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, then that means that I have to change my nighttime, which is my time to be able to like unwind and or play video games or whatever it is, right? Edit videos. And it's just like, it's just not really fair to make it seem like, well, you have no excuse. It's like, well, yeah, if I don't want to sleep, I suppose I could work out.
Yeah, there's that like meme of what's stopping you from looking like this. And, you know, sometimes people mean it seriously and sometimes it's joking. Like, well, would you like the list?
Exactly.
Money, time, mental health. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bad memories. Like,
It's easy to highlight that stuff too. You know, I over in the, on the wrestling side, there's a guy, Triple H, Paul Levesque. He's married to Stephanie McMahon. A lot of people know who I'm talking about. And they highlight, you know, they're parents to three daughters. They're running. Well, Stephanie's left, but they're running the Fed. Triple H was a wrestler, active into his like late 40s, early 50s. And they do these pieces where they're like, and after all that, at midnight, they go down to the gym. And they do that. But you're not seeing the nights where he doesn't want to be there, or the nights he doesn't go, or, you know, the massive problem he recently had it. And, you know, and it's so easy. It's so easy, to follow The Rock on Instagram and be like, you're right. I have no excuse. It's not excuses. It's just life. You know, the motivation world. I agree with a lot of it, but I just also think it's bumper sticker BS of just you're on your own journey. And I didn't work out yesterday. You know why? My ankle hurts. So it's like, but I beat myself up for a couple hours. Right. I got to do it today. And that's just not reality.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to me so much about how does it fit into your life in a good way. But Jennifer, I'm curious for you about what was your lowest point, not by society's judgment, but for your own judgment of wanting exercise and maybe not getting what you want.
Oh, it was after I had my second daughter and she and I, you know, the first few months I was like, oh, I'm just too tired. Like I'll get back into it when she gets a little bit older. And then 6 months we went into lockdown. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, here I had the 6 month old and a 4 year old and we weren't leaving the house and I had no time to work out. And maybe I could have found time, but that was when my daughter was not sleeping through the night at all. I just mentally, I couldn't do it. Physically, I couldn't do it. And so then what happens is it's, you know, I like food for comfort as well. And so then, you know, here's 2 years of me not working out, eating terribly. But it's one of those things where it's like, if I had been exercising, I probably would have eaten better. But because I wasn't exercising, I was like, well, F it. I'm going to have ice cream tonight. I'm going to have, you know, Five Guys delivered, like whatever it is. And I went down this spiral where I had no energy. I felt crappy because I was eating crappy because I wasn't moving. Oh, it was horrible. It was awful. And I didn't feel like myself. And that's when I knew I was like, oh, that's why I need exercise, not to get fit and ripped, but for my mental health.
Yeah.
What was the turning point for you where you had that realization for yourself?
I think I couldn't fit in my clothes. I started becoming like ashamed of my body. And that was when I was like, oh, this is bigger than I thought. And I just had no energy. And I was like, why am I sad? Why do I have no energy? Oh, this is why, because I'm not taking that time for myself and moving. Like as humans, we need to move. We used to be hunter gatherers, right? So I need that in whatever way it was, whether it was walking around the block or doing a video workout.
Yeah. And then did it make you feel a little bit better as you got back into exercising?
Oh yeah. Once my daughter went into preschool, I was like, yes, I got my life back.
Let's go.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, and this is what I think is really important to tell kids, when they're forming their relationship with exercise, is just like most people are not naturally gifted at something, right? You have to work hard at it. And so I wish that somebody had told me that, because it was like, oh, you're just not good at sports. Well, no, it's because I had never tried. Like, you know, all the other kids were trying at home or through recreational things. I had never tried. It was like, oh, you're just the dance kid, or you're just the musical theater kid. So you can do anything through hard work. And as hard as it is, exercising a few times a week, by the end of the week, I'm like, I feel a little bit stronger. And so that's what I try and remind myself when I get out of that rhythm. It's like, okay, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt, but then it will start to get easier and feel better.
That's a very inspiring and makes a lot of sense. And I think a similar to the journey that I had with my lowest point. I think part of it was it was an incredibly slow decline for me. We were talking about how exercise just fits into your life naturally. And sometimes that's the best way, when it's a rhythm that makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. And I had times on and off throughout my life where I'm like, okay, I'm going to lift weights for a little while or do push-ups every morning. I've had those on and off throughout my entire life. Mm-hmm. But for a long time, throughout most of my 20s and 30s, I had theater and sketch comedy, and it was, and so much of it was physical, and multiple day jobs. So, like, you know, in my early 30s, where even my metabolism started to change a little bit, and I started to, you know, not necessarily just be able to eat whatever I wanted with absolutely no penalty or change to my body. I had multiple day jobs that I would often take the bus to, and the day jobs were on my feet performing or being a tour guide. And then I would have a sketch comedy show at midnight where we literally ran around for 90 minutes, doing pratfalls and improv scenes where you're building a human pyramid suddenly. And then I would get up early in the morning and go do children's theater. Sometimes musicals where we'd like sing and dance for 2 hours in the morning. And just, I was kind of aware. I would joke that that comedy is my exercise. But then when I started to work from home more and do, you know, stand up more and podcasts more, really got on this downhill stagnation that got to its absolute worst during the pandemic. And I'm sure there are many experts who can talk about it, with great expertise, but the loss of pedestrian day-to-day movement.
Like, yes.
At its best, when I was doing a lot of theater and comedy, that was my pedestrian movement, was to be constantly on my feet. But for all of us, just the grocery store, you know, the transit back and forth to work, the loss of the day-to-day movement was just huge. And a huge part of my journey right now is, during the pandemic, I grew the beard, and I'm at a place in my age where my body's probably going to change because of my age, but also it's maybe going to change because of my health. And I had the beard, so I kind of knew that I'm not getting enough exercise, like all of us. But I didn't realize that the shape of my face changed. Until I shaved and tried to take a selfie. And
I'm laughing because that's a pain. That's a specific kind of pain.
It's a specific kind of pain. I'm sure lots of people can relate to it. And the part of it that is, this is one of those, like, comedy helps me cope with something that's difficult. Mm-hmm. The place I realized, in 2021, vaccines were out and you know, we're getting out there and it's feeling like great. And, Sarah and I went to, Sequoia National Park. And I was like, I'm going to take a selfie with this, you know, literally one of the largest trees in the world. And I just, like, I was like, what's wrong with me? I used to be good at selfies and I just can't get the right angle. And then I realized, like, it's not the angle or the lighting. It's your face has changed. And I was, like, really depressed. But I had that, like, I'm at this special place seeing this beautiful thing. I don't want to be focused on this. I'm going to try to let it go. And I go and I look at this, you know, information plaque about the Sequoia, and the title text of the information plaque is, "Why so big and so old?"
Oh, <geez. laughs>
like, damn it, plaque! I was trying to let it go.
Right there, that's awesome.
And yeah, that was a low point. Ken, did you have a similar moment of feeling like the actual shape of your face has changed?
It's hard to tell because I have the my beard showed up the moment I got out of security, where I couldn't have facial hair for 17 years. Give or take a couple of years where I was in a suit, but but every once in a while you gotta, you know, beard growers know, you gotta occasionally shave it off or trim it down to a one or a zero to kind of reshape the beard. And when I have to do that, number one, Grace asked me to step out of the house for a week or two till the beard grows back. But then you kind of go, oh, that's what we got. That's what's going on. And, you see it. And then you look back. It's funny. You mentioned, you know, wishing you knew you were in good shape when you were, whatever, you know. I look back at, like, Facebook memory posts and I'm like, see, why did I hate myself then? I was lighter and my face looked great. Like my cheeks were, I had energy. You don't think of it. That's my lesson to the youths out there. Flaunt what you got right now. Have fun right now. And also, I'm also looking in the mirror now, and I'm not unhappy either. But I know what you're talking about. That like, oh, this is really happening.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it's always a struggle to have a good relationship with yourself in the present. That should be so helpful to go like, to look at. And I've had that same thing too, of like, I'm looking back at photos where I was like, oh no, people are going to know how old I am. And like, you look so young. Why did you care?
go ahead.
No, please. You,
the real sleeper is the hand. The goddamn hands. And I think I think there was a shot on Adorable Nightmare where I think there was a shot of my hands or something. I don't know. I remember seeing something on set, and I went, my, who is that old guy? Like, look at those hands. So I moisturized like crazy. I shook a hand of a female comic at the Comedy Store about 2 weeks ago. She goes, you have the daintiest, loveliest hands I've ever shook. You have a routine like every day I'm scrubbing. But anyway, the face is one thing. Those hands, you look at those hands and you're like, my grandpa.
Okay. My hands are still quite youthful. So I'll put out for the hand modeling. Jen, let's go to you for this one. What is your current relationship with exercise then? We went low to our darkest point. Where are you now? What do you do? Why do you do it? What's your goal?
My goal is to move. So basically, I mean, when I was in New York, it was amazing, right? Like you're talking about walking to the store, walking everywhere. It felt so great. It was exercise every day without even thinking about it. But now I have to be much more conscious. Mm-hmm. So it's usually like two, if I can aim for 2 to 3 times a week, whether it's going and running outside, or it might be doing, I do Jillian Michaels workout that I've had for years. I also did the Tracy Anderson method for a while, but the Jillian Michaels thing, it basically is like strength training, cardio, and abs. And she does some things in the video that I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is really not appropriate. But she, you know what I mean? Like, and she does, not body shaming, but you know, there's some things, but I know the workout and I can follow it. So I just kind of tune her out.
Yeah.
I'll put on music. But yeah, so that's what makes me feel good. And I like doing that. And I went to the doctor and he was like, what are you doing for exercise? You know, your heart rate is great. And you, whatever you're doing, keep it up. And hearing that positive feedback made me feel so good. And so I just was like, oh, okay, great. But I think it's also important to remember, like you were talking about, Joseph, when we do things that are active in our day. I went to the picket line a couple times last week and I was walking around in the hot sun. That was my exercise. I don't, but naturally I'm like, oh, I didn't work out this week. Well, yes, I did. That was my exercise. And so I'm having to like rewire my brain to think, oh, any movement is a way to stay healthy and stay active. And that's the best thing that we can do for our bodies, right? Whether it's doing a cardio workout or if it's just doing a walk or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I think that's great. And that's where I'm at too. I've had even the last couple of years, a good like 2 month stretch where I do pushups and some jump jacks and that in my home for like, oh, I keep it up for every day for 2 months and then it falls apart. And what's been working really well for me in the last several months is to just go for a walk every day because it isn't too much pressure. I enjoy it. I get out of, you know, working from home, you can get so in your head and you just step out the door and feel better. 'Cause like, oh yeah, humans, you know, right. It is a real, it's the whole touch grass joke of like, get some perspective, you know, see a bird and it helps your mood a little bit.
Put a bird.
Also just, put a bird in front of your face. I had wanted at one point, early when I came to LA and was kind of brainstorming all the different things that I could do. And I think, Geek and Sundry and Nerdist were, you know, really hot, and I was kind of brainstorming like, what's like a funny comedy show I could do? And I never felt like I knew the right people or had the right resources, but I wanted to do an exercise show, you know, for nerdy people who had some of the life experiences that we've been describing, jokingly called Let's Not Die, where the point was to separate. This isn't about cosmetic. This isn't, I mean, maybe it can be for you if it's what you want to look like, but it's not about those social pressures of, you're going to be the skinny guy who gets sand kicked in his face and the big guy's going to take your girl, or, you know, all of the mountain of negative stereotypes that get put onto women in their bodies. Like, to have a show that, like, it's about health, just health, nothing about you have to look this way. It's all about health. So because I had that brainstorm, I think about the kind of exercise I want to do is Let's Not Die exercise. and to me, like, walking every day is Let's Not Die exercise of, like, maybe I'll, you know, maybe I'll find out the mystery of my changed face. Is it age or is it weight? It's a fun mystery. But I'm walking every day because I want to stay up and able to do fun things.
Yeah, it'd still be a great series in some form. I would love that.
There's actually, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
A quick plug for the Heroes. What was it? Heroes Journey Fitness. I don't know if they still, you know them? Yeah, yeah. They have all their
David
nerve Nett.
Workouts. Yeah.
David Nett. Yes, exactly. They're I don't know if they're still doing it, but it sounded really fun.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember which. I think there was a rebranding, and I don't remember what. But yeah, he and his partners would develop a nerd themed. So, you know, you could take I'm being a hobbit.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Did they just own the straight up? I think it was one point called like Nerd Gym or something like that. Was that?
I think so. Right? Yeah. I don't remember the current branding, but
I think it's right. HeroesJourneyLA.com.
There we go.
Yeah. Christy.
Yeah. And that's great. How about you, Ken? Where are you at? I know, I feel like the entire time I've known you, you've been pretty good about staying on your weightlifting routine that works for you.
Yeah. I'm a little bit lazy these days, but I always work out. So sometimes it's those like, well, we did 30 minutes. We're good. But that's also the point. I think we're in a golden age of home and self fitness. If you want to take it, and there's a lot of good perspectives. There's always going to be destructive perspectives and things we put in our own heads, things society puts in our own head. And there's some good discussion to have on it. And I love, I never went to that gym you're all talking about, but I remember like Bradley went there. My brother Anthony Smith was there, and it was a good, it was addressing some of the things that your show will, once you get it going, Joseph, address, going back to the youth of you can only be one or the other, right? Like if you're sitting at a computer working and you're great at video games or writing poems and you can't be in the gym, that's a lie. And it's a lie that someone's either told you or we've internalized. And I'd love kind of, I'm okay with parting it out a little bit. Like, you want to go to a nerd gym because you feel a little safer, a little calm. You're around people who are on the same journey with you. I think that's a great thing. I don't go to gyms. I've been to three gyms in my life. I can't stand it. I don't like the atmosphere. I don't like people watching. I don't like the unwritten rules. I don't like the money. So I have always stressed home working out, or for a long time was blessed with a friend who had a full gym in his home, and he's a friend that owned the pro wrestling company that I work for. So I was blessed with that, but I will have to admit to that. But I'm in a good spot where any action is action, and I think that once you get that in the walk, first of all, walks are very, very healthy. I don't care if you're curling 5 pounds. This is my thing. My friend taught me that it doesn't need to be 50 pounds. First of all, that would break you. Too, like, any action is action. Start there, stay there. Doesn't matter. You're moving, and I'm in that spot. And one of the things I would recommend. I sound like a bad motivational speaker. On Instagram alone, and I will warn you, it will change your search history. So be careful. there's a lot of wonderful people who have, you know, five exercises you can do with a band, or no weightlifting, this and that. There's one that I stumbled on. Some people might know her handle is Built by Becky. She's a Canadian mother of two. And at 36, she decided that enough's enough. And she's in great shape. So I stumbled on, popped up, I watched it, and I like watching her and those types because they aren't the douchey big gym bros who are a very real thing and problem. And I don't need to feel like, oh God, yo, this guy's flipping 45 pound weights on his hand and what a stud. That's not for me. I don't need that because I need something that works for me right here, right now. And one of the things, and you mentioned it, Joseph, like for 2 months, every day you wake up 25 pushups and that's that, and this is going to be me the rest of my life. That's not ever going to be the case. And I talk about, I'm in certain seasons. There's like the hike. There was a last summer I hiked almost every day, and I'm going to get back to it. The rain's going to wash away and got me out of the habit. Right now, I've been in a go for a long walk phase or just do cardio. I have a pro wrestling injury and I have to be careful with my back. When it tells me not to lift, I can't lift. But there's other times that I'm following these Instagram workouts, and about a year ago, I was in some of the best shape I'd been in a long time, and then that kind of faded away. And then it's easy to beat yourself up. I sound like a Peloton instructor, don't I? It's easy to beat yourself. Like, I was doing 25 pushups a day every morning before my first cup of coffee. Well, now you're not. What are you doing now? And what, do something different? And your body will reward you with the change up, anyways, and that's okay. And that once I kind of got into that phase. I have a full gym, I call it a full enough gym in my garage. Grace brought a treadmill to the relationship. I brought weights, everything.
That's great.
That's an effort I have. So I don't have to leave the house, but I love going for walks and I love going out in Burbank as a walking path. At the risk of sounding like a TED talk here, I'm in a good phase where I don't beat myself up as much. Now I still have some issues. We can get to the negative stuff. There's times I'm looking in the mirror, even last week, grabbing parts of my body that I don't like, getting upset, getting angry. I have that issue, and that's still a problem. That comes from a lot of things from youth, and you try to separate or work through it as best you can. The gym is a magic elixir. It does not erase that. It does not erase the negative thoughts. It can help, but so I'm in a good phase. I'm excited. I like it. Every day it's a half hour to an hour that my mind clears and everything flows.
That is great. Well, I think that you have been a very successful, inspirational exercise TED Talk coach. The seasons thing and just letting it change. That's so great because I can get obsessive and just be like exactly that of like, I don't know. I heard about, what was it, Jack LaLanne? I think I heard about him when I was 8 and like, okay, well, I get to a certain age, I'll do 800 pushups every day and I'll live forever like that guy, you know? And I want to do that. I want to pick the thing and I do that every day. And that's the magical solution forever. So it is really great to have that, just that simple phrase, seasons, and let it change.
Cause that's beautiful. We're all normal. I've been around, you know, I've been in pro wrestling locker rooms and I'm making jokes about things that get put into body, but also that's a locker room full of a lot of people who are dedicated to it, who, the timer goes off. I've got to eat that a piece of chicken and the lettuce with no seasoning. And it's, I do this 6 times a day. And that, cause that's their career. And there's this obsessive side to it, but also, you know, we do things, we podcast 8 hours a week, you know, they don't do that. We all have those things. And so I've been around that and it can get intimidating. You know, cause number one, the physiques are great and you know, not everyone in locker room is, but not needed. And it's easy to just get lost in that and think that, like we were talking earlier, like that's the standard. You'll never be the Rock. Never will.
And there are people who do not have standard, stereotypical, you know, air quotes, healthy bodies who are in the greatest shape ever. You know, I have, you know, known some dancers and some theater people who do not have the stereotypical bodies, and they will beat you in a mile. They will beat you in weightlifting, and by appearance the societal judgment would be no, you know, but the health and the strength for yourself is so different than the appearance.
Oh yeah. I've seen, you know, the guys who walk into the locker room and you're like, yep, that guy, he's got the look, and he blows up 2 minutes of the match. There was this one guy I worked with. There's a named Terex, maybe 5'10" if we're lying, 400 north of 400 pounds. And this guy would outrun everyone. He would do a standing, standing moonsault, which is a backflip. He'd do it on his feet in the middle of the ring. He didn't go on the top ropes. He was in better shape than all of them. Yeah. So you're right.
Amazing. Wow.
What's going on in your brain?
Amazing. And with that great image, we are going to body slam into a recommendation and take a break. Who wants to do the Audible recommendation today?
I have one ready to go. Jen,
go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
I want to recommend the Christopher Moore book, Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal. Really funny satire, deep philosophical stuff. Highly recommend it. This one's narrated by Fisher Stevens, and it's available on Audible right here, right now. And you can try it out on us by going to audibletrial.com/4Center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4Center.
All right, we got a recommendation. We're going to take a quick break and talk a little bit more about exercise back in a moment.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Other Center here. Are you feeling motivated? Do you want to get up in the morning to do some push-ups? You've come to the right podcast. Or do you just want to kind of, find something that works for you and feel good? Hey, we're talking exercise here in Other Center. Joseph, we got a few more questions.
That is right. We've been talking some big stuff, some deep stuff. Maybe that will come in as well. But I also wanted to ask just some more possibly fun, specific questions. So, Jennifer, I'm curious. I think you already answered part of this question of what your favorite form of exercise is, but I'm curious about what your favorite form of exercise is. And also, if money and time are no option and you could facilitate any form of exercise, is there something different you would do?
Oh my gosh. You know, the problem is I follow a lot of fame, not a lot, but I follow some famous actors or, you know, influencers who have a lot of money. So I see their amazing gym setups in their home. And not to say that that would make it easier, but I would love to have some equipment like that, or I'd love to have a treadmill. I think it would also really help because sometimes I'm like, it's too hot to go running. I'm not going to run today. Yeah. Right. But, so that would be the first thing. If money was no object, I would love to have a trainer come and just, you know, come on, push it. And also help me, target the areas that I want to target in a safe way. Cause sometimes it's just so overwhelming and I'm like, oh, I think that this is what I need to do. And I was like, oh, the next day that really hurt my back. I should have not done that. Right. Mm-hmm. Having a coach you through those things would be great. And then the last thing would be to be able to do Pilates. I have always wanted to do Pilates. Mm-hmm. It's very expensive. I want to do it with like the reformer and that type of equipment. So oh man.
That's so frightening. That sounds absolutely like a comic book villain. But
it looks like it. It looks intense. Yeah. It's like torture machine, right?
It's Grace's preferred form of exercise. And that's, so she goes to a place in Burbank. She's like, you ever want to go with me? I was like, do you want an ambulance outside waiting for me?
It looks amazing. It looks amazing. And the people who do it have amazing bodies. I don't even know how, Ken, how would you describe it? This machine.
It someone looked at like a medieval torture device and went that.
Yeah.
That.
It's kind of your leg high.
Yeah. It's like high movement, high impact. And you're on a machine, you're stretching, you're balancing, it's body weight type of thing. I someone out there in the audience is probably screaming. That's not what it is. I should just bring her in here to describe it. I can't. And what's funny is her studio is next to my barber. Often we're at the same spot and I'll hear these titans in the other room and I'm just getting this haircut by an old man. And it's the tale of our two lives. It's impressive. And you see the. And some people do have, another Jen I know has a home Pilates thingy. Wow. And it takes a lot of space. So it's a privilege, but it's impressive.
It's impressive. Yeah.
So Jen, if you had access to all that, if you had a big house with a reformer in it,
yeah, then I'd have no excuse.
Yeah, you had said earlier that running is probably your favorite form of exercise now. Do you think do you think the reformer would reform you, or do you think you would gravitate back to the simple thing that you can control, running?
I think I'd like to do both because I have to be careful with running as I get older. I definitely feel it more in my back and my hips and even my knees, which is just like, what? This is now a thing I have to deal with. So I have to be careful about how long I run and how often. If it's like once a week, it's all right. So, and I also like the idea. People talk about like how they're on the treadmill watching episodes of shows. Mm-hmm. That sounds really enticing. I would like to do that.
You get yourself an iPad and ear pods, and that's how I watch most of my shows now. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I think that I could kill two birds with one stone, one treadmill.
Bird murder, the best exercise. Sure. Ken, do you think that you would always just go back to weightlifting? Do you have your ideal right now of weights?
Yeah, I do.
A garage where nobody can bug you.
No one can bug. I keep the door closed. The music's on. Yeah, absolutely. We got the treadmill. So usually I start 20 to 30 minutes of, you know, I'm doing a Rebels rewatch again. That's, you know, that's on right now. That kind of thing. But then I go, but I don't have a ton of room. So I have a lot of, I'm a big fan of exercise bands and stuff like that. Those work for me. There's something I own called a Gorilla Bow, which is really just a lightweight metal bar with bands on it. But it's just, you're able to do a lot of things. But I have free weights and I have not a Bowflex, but whatever the home gym kind of thing is. So I like that. But really, honestly, my favorite form of exercise is walking. If that's the one thing I could make myself do every day, it's that, because I've always, no matter where I've lived in LA, I've found, areas to walk locally near me and just be, I'm that guy. You look out your window, it's 5 o'clock. There's that guy with the headphones and the, you know, looks like he's a podcaster, but he's walking. That's me. And cause it's just, it's, you get back and you just feel, you know, your knees don't hurt as much. But you just feel like you've gotten some of the air out there that you need.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think walking is always going to be one of my favorites. And there's that partial truth about Los Angeles that it's a car city. Nobody walks. And like, I can't walk to Ken's. I have to cross a freeway in a mountain. But LA is so many small neighborhoods, and you know, coming from the Midwest, like, hey, it can be hard to walk every day because in Minneapolis it gets swelteringly hot and you know dangerous cold, and then you have brief windows of exercise. But for me to be able to walk almost every day, and most days it's gorgeous in my little neighborhood. So many of us have a benefit of LA is actually, if you're staying in your general neighborhood, is a great city to walk in my opinion.
Yeah. It's not a walkable city in terms of like you're describing living. And that's one of our problems out here. The car culture took over, but you're absolutely right. And your neighborhood, I know pretty well. It's good walking. Mm-hmm. Good walking spot.
Yeah. Super lucky. It's gorgeous. And I can walk up into the hills. And if I want, I can just, you know, walk up three flights of giant stairs and in 15 minutes get pretty exhausted.
Yeah.
I think my favorite form of exercise is just being active, doing something creative where you don't recognize it.
Right.
You know, it you can't sustain it always, but like the two intense days of shooting the short film that I keep talking about were great. I don't think I maybe sat down for 5 minutes.
You never. I mean, you ate your pizza standing up.
I did. I tried to sit down and I was like, no, I can't. But I love it because it's not thinking about exercising. You're doing stuff. You're making stuff. You're pushing your body because you want to get the shot and within, you know, reason and being safe and all that. But that's my first choice. The other thing I love is I absolutely love swimming. And I think it's funny talking about the differences between being labeled sort of a sports person or a soft little theater person. I have a musical theater injury I got to be careful of. There you go. My knees are banged up from all of the pratfalls. So I really relate to you, Jennifer. Like I couldn't run. That would be harmful to me. And I don't have people to help me and go, that's a pain you need to push through. That's natural.
Right.
That's your body telling you to stop.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And swimming's so great for that because you do still have to be careful, but it is, you know, there's less, you know, impact to your joints. And I'm lucky to have a swimming pool in the building we've lived in forever.
Oh, wow.
But there's and it hardly ever gets used. So I keep having a fantasy of like, well, one of these days I'm just going to be the guy who's walking around the building in his robe and flip flops, and he goes, it's the 11 a.m. swimming guy again. And in my mind, I want to be able to do that, but that's a big price to pay to walk through your entire apartment building in a robe. You know,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I don't public swim.
I don't public swim. Yeah. So man, that's one of my like rich person fantasies. Oh, a private swimming pool. Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah,
100%.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Along those lines, this is one of my favorite questions to ask you both. Ken, I want to start with you. What are your favorite lies you've told yourself about exercising?
That working out will fix me and not working out will destroy me.
So like emotional.
Yeah. It's all part of the process. And there's something to feeling good. Again, we're talking, you know, and I think it's a very good era to be aware of, you know, everyone's shape, sizes and purposes and levels of happiness. You know, I do think regularly working out is part of a healthy, balanced life. But if you don't want to or don't need to or can't, literally can't, then there's other ways to find that stuff. So but that it doesn't make you better. It doesn't fix you. It doesn't make you more powerful. I have some folks that maybe think that around me. But also again, you know, skipping a day, a week, a month, a year, sound like a theme song to a TV show, you're not gone and destroyed forever. And you know, my mother is early 70s now, coming to basically mid 70s. She'll probably, and she's, you know, she's a little, I get some of my melodramatic depression from her. So she always tells me, it's close to being over for me. She teaches 5 to 7 exercise classes a week.
Wow.
Is in solid, not just shape and that shape sense, but just solid health because of it. And, mm-hmm. and teaches classes to seniors and teaches stretch classes and exercise on chairs because they can't move as much. And she has seen people who have hobbled in on walkers or canes who within 6 months, a year or longer, it's not a fast process, are on their own 2 feet and don't even own those things or bring them. You know, she's seen that wow. stuff. It's a real positive impact. So it doesn't have to, as long as you're blessed with the ability to keep doing it. Again, I understand it's not always going to be the case. You can exercise for the rest of your life in those particular seasons, and missing a little bit isn't the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that is that. I should have went with you, Ken, last.
Yeah, I know.
Because that is the most important truth. But Jen, do you have a favorite lie you've told yourself about exercising?
Yeah, that I'm not athletic, and I think it was because when I was in high school, I was entering freshman year, and I wanted to get on the volleyball team for whatever reason. And so I went to the tryout camp, and we had to run. We did all these exercises that I had never really done, all back to back. And I threw up in the trash can.
Wow.
It was like, yes, it was so intense. And I didn't make the team. And I told myself, it's because I'm not athletic. And what I learned was that, no, it's just I had never trained like that before. And I was with other girls who had. They had been playing volleyball and working out and doing all that stuff. And like you were saying earlier, Joseph, like I didn't know what was good for my body or what was, oh, this might be dangerous. I can really hurt myself, right? So I just kind of stopped that. But then I kept dancing and then I realized, oh, I actually am athletic. And I'll end it on a positive note, which is my husband was just telling me yesterday, there was a Harvard study that said that the best thing that you can do to live longer is to exercise. Even if you don't have the best diet or how, no matter your age, exercising, you will gain years on your life. Mm-hmm. So that was really, and his grandmother lived until she was 103 years old, my husband's grandmother. And it was because she would exercise every week doing her water aerobics in the pool. Because she had a lot of, you know, other issues. She couldn't really walk really, really well, but she could get in that pool and she could exercise.
I got to do water aerobics in a public apartment pool. Watch 20-something hipsters stare at me.
There goes old man Scrimshaw.
I need to approach it like I'm a theater character and like get some weird like cane and weird hat and just be like eccentric weirdo of the building.
You need the oldie time swimsuit that goes down to the knees and straps and.
I really want that. I was talking about going into the ocean, which was a really great experience last week, and I was like, I really wish I had an old timey one, you know, man's one piece that looks like pajamas, basically. Yeah. The favorite lie I've told myself about exercising, and I don't think I'm alone, is the Nintendo Wii.
Oh yes,
that. Was like huge
fraud,
right? You're laughing, Ken. So I'm sure you had a similar experience. Maybe you did too, Jen. But like, I had for a while there. I think, and I still do. I'm still friends with everybody. But it was that we talked about this, Ken, when you and I did our video games ranked. Some of the power of video games is the community, and I had this real found family. I did shows with them. We had specific. We did our bar crawl. We had a specific movie parties we did. And there was a time there where we were really bonded over video games, you know, Super Smash, you know, every night. And the Wii is, and we would joke of like, you know, all the jokes that the three of us have been talking about of, you know, we're nerdy. We play video games. We do comedy. You know, if this golden day ever came where in order to run around and play GoldenEye, you know, or to be Donkey Kong and punch Link. If I had to physically do it, that would save not just me, but everyone I know in my entire generation. That's all we need. And then the Wii comes out and it's basically that of get up and swing your whole body to play tennis. And within a week, we all got together and like, hey, did you figure out you don't need to actually stand up to play Wii tennis? You can just sit on the couch and barely flick your wrist, and actually you can move even less than we do when we play Super Smash to play Wii Sports. And this thing I had sworn up and down is a joke, but to myself as well, this is what will save me. This is what will give me the motivation to exercise. Broken it within a week. You know, went from this revolution to get up and move your body to tiniest wrist movement possible.
Oh, wow.
And here's the thing, the Wii Fit, right? The Wii comes out, and then they had the whole, like, you get the pad, and there's like maybe a yoga pad. This is my girlfriend at the time, Christina. She was a gamer too, and it's like, so she wanted that. So for Christmas one year, I went all out. I swiped some credit cards and got anything that came with the Wii Fit. And I'll tell you this. If you followed it, it would work. I remember doing like the ski jump, and it felt like doing squats and the tennis like you're talking about, but you're right. And also, you don't pull that out to set it up every time you play games. I used to have in my old apartment where I didn't have a lot of room. So I maybe had a little bench, a couple free weights, and I had like an exercise bike, a compact one. And I had this great idea of I would play video games while on the bike. And this is great. I can just pedal while I'm going. By the time 10 minutes into the game, the pedaling is because I'm stopping and I'm concentrating on the game.
Yeah.
I've wanted to try the I don't know what it's called. I think it's the one through Facebook Meta or the Oculus. You know, those like virtual reality things that you can put on, the goggles or whatever. Oh my gosh, it sounds so old. And you can exercise through the virtual world, but in real life, if that makes sense, you do the movements. It's the same idea as the Wii, but just get it like, you know. But yeah, I've heard that that's really fun, but I don't have that equipment. So
yeah. And I wonder if it just is a divide in some people's brains, my brain, a little bit what you're describing, Ken, of like, there's not that exercise can't be fun, but like, that's not the point of a video game. And it's always going to be a little bit of an awkward marriage.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit, but Jennifer, what do you think makes exercising easier for you? What is the best thing that helps make it easy to be part of your life?
Getting into a routine, writing it down in my calendar, workout. It's holding myself accountable. It's really, really important, because otherwise I don't want to do it. There's a lot of other things I'll be doing, right? And then to get myself all sweaty. So like you're saying, Ken, if I dress in my workout clothes when I go drop off my kids, I am absolutely more likely to work out when I come home. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go right into it. Or if I have like something that I'm preparing for, I always work out because I feel like maybe there's some nerves involved. So it like helps me clear my head. It helps me feel like when I'm pushing through my running, I am pushing through my nerves that I have for the event. So it's like, it's a mental thing. To like challenge myself. And then also, like if I can just, my Apple Watch will hold me accountable. I like that.
Yeah.
Right. We'll say, this is your ring. You got to close your movement. And so then I'm like, okay, well, I'll walk the dog.
Nice. I think for me, it's allowing it to be a priority, because I'm always feeling like I don't have enough time, and I'm very, very guilty of, I have a hard time doing something if it feels like more than one step. So it's like, I sit here in my sweatpants to record the podcast and I want to walk, but I got to put on pants and put my contacts in, and that's like a half hour of my life gone. And what about this script I want to write? And like, I've been doing better, cause I am just saying like, you got to let that go. You're choosing to make this a time priority. It's not a thing to shove in the side. It's, you know, the second most important thing in your day, like you have to do, you have to walk, and you have to let that be, more important than whatever other thing you're working on. That's like the only way I can trick myself is by like, this isn't something I'm trying to squeeze in. It's the priority. because I want to live to 103, like water grandma. How about you, Ken? What makes it easier?
You're all hitting things that are similar to where I'm at, where it's like, currently I'm blessed enough to you know, work at home, and this is what we're doing, and other, my writing job is at home. So I don't have to get dressed to go out. And, but in the days where I didn't, you know, 17 year day job, I was gone and had to come home. If I didn't immediately switch into the workout gear, I wouldn't do it, even if I was going to work out hours later. So knowing that, you know, for me, that is a weakness. Other people, that might not be the case. We all seem to be sharing the same sentiment. So just choosing, it sounds like I'm selling sneakers here, but the just do it mentality. It's a time thing. Sometimes it's not the physical exertion that scared me off, or I don't want to do that today. It's like, that's an hour, including a shower. Like I got bleeped.
Exactly.
Or, you know, I kind of just want to have that pizza that's in there, and you know, and being okay with those days, like I keep talking about. But the old just do it mentality, it definitely is important. And you're right, Joseph. I am, maybe it's something with the creative brain side. I don't know. If I don't, you know, I got to film videos for like my sports card ASMR channel. If I don't unplug the laptop and move the camera into position that morning, I won't film the videos that night. It's so stupid.
It is
2 minutes. But if I don't, I see it as an extra step that I don't have time for. And that's how it is with working out. Just prepare for that. Get that done.
Yeah. When the one task becomes three in my mind, like, oh, now it's impossible. I could do one task, but I can't do three.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to wrap up. Ken, you have given some great coaching, you as well, Jennifer. But I'm curious about your plans for your own exercise future. We'll frame this on Ken's great seasons idea. What, Jennifer, what do you think is your next season? What's your plan for what's around the corner for you exercise wise?
I would love to be the person that wakes up before my kids to work out. I really, really would, because then I really have no excuse. Sometimes what happens is I come back and things will be happening after drop off. And then I get, you know, then it's 11 o'clock. I'm like, well, it's lunchtime. And now I already have my makeup on. I'm not going to work out. So it's a way for me to like build in a cushion, right? So I can make sure that I get that workout and I prioritize it. So that's a real goal, but that's lofty. So at this point, just working out maybe twice a week, regularly in my routine. This is my carve out, my workout time. No excuses. Just get it done.
Yeah, that's great. Ken, how about you? What is your next season, do you think?
I'm going to get back to hiking. I actually just texted Christian Ruvacampo of the weekend. He was my hiking buddy for a lot of times. And Steve Ellis from Black Series Rebels he showed me some of the trails that I hike on. I just was like, dude, what the F are we doing? We got to get back out hiking. So we're going to find some time because it's hard. You're halfway up the hill going, why the hell did I do this to myself? But then you get back in the car and you're like, I can't wait to do it tomorrow. So that's that, and continuing what I'm doing and just making sure I find the time and continue to not beat myself up. If I don't, I'll never be, you know, Mark Ellis, God bless him. He's up at 5 a.m. every day.
Wow.
Jumping and cryotherapying and doing all the things. And it's paid off. His arms look great on stage. I can confirm. But that ain't me, babe. That ain't me. I'm never going to do that. There's a week or two where I'll get up and be like, oh, I worked out. I used to work out before our recording sessions on Monday. But I'd sit down, I'd have a workout in there. There's nothing stopping me from doing that. This morning, I had coffee. I read a little bit of my book that I'm reading. The Storm Is Here. I'll play some baseball while going over notes. So that's this season. The pre-workout podcast is another season. So, but yeah, that's the media goal. Hiking more.
That is a great season. My current season is I walk every day. When we're done recording, I will put on pants and I will go walk about 3/4 mile to a little free library near me and check that. That's my little motivation.
That's great.
Yeah, next season I want to be, who's the guy in the robe and the cane and the weird hat who goes to the swimming pool every day? I want to be swimming pool weirdo.
It's like a Wes Anderson character. I like it.
Yep. I just got to get into character. That's it.
Yeah. Well, yes. I want you to look like Gene Hackman at the end of Royal Tenenbaum.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
That's what it's gotta be. That's what it's gotta be. Maybe I'll just have like a full like makeup, like fake mustache and everything. So we'll be like, who is, we really don't know who that, did that person live here? We don't know. Well, this has been a very fun talk, and I think healthy to talk about the reality of it. I think there's a whole diet side of it that we didn't get into as much because that's a whole other big can of worms. But I think if anything, if you're listening, regardless of what age you are, what health you are, I think know it's something that we almost all struggle with in different ways. The good, the bad, the exercise. Ken, that's it. Take us away.
Hey, we are on Twitter. Share your workout videos. We're on Twitter, Force Center Pod. We are also on Threads at Force Center Pod. We'll get the other spots. We're still on Hive. Go check us out there. Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. Instagram, YouTube. You can find us there. Thanks again to everyone who joined us for the live Q&A on Friday. Podcasts available in a lot of different spots, including iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or more. Just put us in your ears and go for a walk. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly. So many already do, and we appreciate it at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Follow me at Ken Napsok or KenNapsok.com. I think I'll have some dates to announce soon with Mark Ellis. Speaking of that workout scoundrel, you can follow me there to let you know. I'll give you the updates. Jen, where can they find and follow you?
You can find me on TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138 and all the other social media platforms at Jennifer Landa. I have new content coming. I asked my audience on Instagram, what do they think? Can I talk about the pink doll stuff? No, I'm not going to be up, but I will be talking about like retro things and vintage things and fun things like that. So join me there.
That's awesome. Love that. Joseph, where can they find and follow you and take us home?
Watching Jennifer's retro vintage videos. That sounds great. You can find me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. Particularly want to put forward Blue Sky. I've been enjoying being on Blue Sky, but it still feels a little empty with their invite code and stuff. I don't know if those are going out more, but if you're on Blue Sky, please come find me there as well as all the other social media. And soon I'll be able to have some of the specifics, but the Nightmare Adorable, the short film that I can't stop talking about, will be playing at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival in Portland, Oregon, October 6th through the 8th. So if you're nearby, watch out for those tickets on sale and details coming soon. That is it. However you choose to do it, I hope you enjoy some exercise.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.